calling, my friend. Would you give Brother Derek Stinnett a hand of welcome?
It's good to be in the house today. Let me get situated. This is on, isn't it, Brother Mike? I'm honored today. It's so good to have my wife little Sophina is in the house today. Won't you guys stand over there in the corner? Let everybody see you. That's my crew. And Ashlyn and Aiden. Ashlyn is leading, helping sing. And Aiden decided to go to Paris. Mama told him she'd cook anything he wanted. How many know that's where he signed up to go? Amen. I would have went myself, but I wanted to come to camp meeting. Amen. So good to be here today. How many love Jesus today? Wow, what an atmosphere that we're in. And what is it? There's a fan on me. Yeah. Would you turn that on? Thank you, preacher. Do you like that fan? It was going to mess up my hair. I want to look good today for camp meeting. And man, what an atmosphere. Didn't the parson sing a wonderful day? Wow. I believe they get better. They just keep singing under the anointing, don't they? It blesses me every time I hear them. And I want to do this, if I could. I want to obey the Lord. I don't necessarily have a long message. I don't necessarily have a short message. That went over real good. Three of you got it. The rest of you nodded off. Get back. Here we are. But I want to obey the Lord. Would it be all right? And when God gave me this little message, I've been working. Matter of fact, you won't believe this, as a traveling evangelist. This week, prior to camp meeting, God began to speak to me, and Brother Clark gave me two messages. And I'm telling you, if I've ever heard from the Lord, God gave me two messages. And I want to obey the Lord for this service. And I know the Lord's going to move tonight, in the morning, tomorrow night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And I'm like the parsons, you don't want to miss. I know Brother Clark would tell you, you don't want to miss. If you can be in this camp meeting, I believe there's going to be life-changing things. Words that you need to hear. And I believe that. And God gave me this message, and I really believe it fits the culture. How many would agree with the man of God? We are distracted in the culture. We got this going on, that going on, and we're easily distracted. The enemy has absolutely put us in his sights, and he's aiming at us. And I want to obey the Lord. If you have your Bible, go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 11, and I'm going to begin there in verse 1. I'm going to read all of that. Go down to verse 11. I'll read 1 to verse 11. Then I'll pray and then I'll preach for a little bit. So thankful, Brother Clark, Sister Tamara, Calvary Church, for the invite to come to this great camp meeting. And I believe it's gotten better every year. And I don't believe it'll be any different this year. I believe the Lord's just going to honor us with His presence. I do know people have prayed, pushed back their plate. I believe that makes all the difference in the world. 1 Samuel chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. The Bible said, "Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, 'Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee.' Nahash the Ammonite answered them, 'On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes.' and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. Then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those things. And his anger was kindled greatly. He took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces, sent them throughout the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. I want you to know verse 9. It'll be my text. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. I want everybody in the sanctuary to say help. How many would agree with the man of God? When you need it the most, God will send help. When life doesn't make sense, God will send help. And I'm going to deal with that today. But look on as we read. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. It was so in the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites unto the heat of the day. It came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that the two of them were not left together. I want everybody in the sanctuary to look up here. I'm going to give you my title, and then I'm going to pray. If the Lord will help me for the next few moments, I want to preach. God sent help anyway. I'm going to hit the rewind button. I'm not sure you heard me. God sent help anyway. Father, I thank you today for the reading of the Word of Almighty God. I thank you for this great crowd of people. Thank you for this wonderful privilege to stand behind the sacred desk and to rightly divide the word of truth. God, I know my assignment. I know what you've laid on my heart. I pray that you would loose my mouth and that you would loose my tongue. I pray today that I'd not preach a minute long and that I'd not preach a minute short, but that I would obey the voice of God. God, help me to address where we are in the culture. Help me to address where we are in this late day hour that we live. I pray today that this sermon would not just be words that a preacher wrote down on paper, but God, that this would penetrate the hearts and lives of men, women, boys, and girls. I pray today if there's any that need help, that they would recognize that you are here. On the first day of camp meeting, God, if there's a lost man here, let him know that he needs help. If there's a lost lady here, let her know that she needs help. If there's any that's walked in that is contrary to the will of God and they backslidden on God, I pray that you would speak to them. Let them hear the word of God and let them know that you have something for them and that you'll help them along the journey. God, would you speak? Would you do something in camp meeting that only you can do? And we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, you may be seated in the house of the Lord. God send help anyway. Now, Pastor, when God gave me this little sermon, He said, Derek, I want you to notice verse 9. He said, in verse 9, he said, they sent out messengers and all of the men, they sent all of these messengers out to Saul of Gibeah. And they're sending these messengers out. Matter of fact, they get an army together, Brother Clark, of 330,000 men strong. But the line in that verse, in verse number 9, that I could not get over. It said, by the time the sun gets hot, ye shall have help. I said, God, what do you want me to tell your people? How do you want me to word that to your people? He said, Derek, tell somebody in the sanctuary that if they're broken and they're messed up, he said, tell them that by the time the sun gets hot, I'm going to send them some help. Hallelujah. Maybe there's a broken family. Maybe there's a broken daddy, a broken mama, a broken family in this sanctuary. And you've cried yourself to sleep. And you've wondered, is God ever going to send anything? Is God ever going to send some help? Is God ever going to send some reinforcement? God brought me by to tell you, the time the sun gets hot in the morning, that help is coming your way. Hallelujah. I'm getting blessed and it's early. Somebody not yet. You say, man of God, is that all? No, 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 no. Brother Grant, the interesting thought is they've gathered 330,000 strong. And so Nahash, he gets his, he's in camp. He's encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. The only reason that he's encamped against Jabesh-Gilead, he wants to destroy the people of God. Would you agree with the man of God? We still have an enemy today that wants to destroy the people of God. He's not your friend. He's your adversary. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil that come to steal, kill, and destroy. You'll see something in Nahash. I want us to look a little closer at Nahash. Brother Clark, when I studied Nahash, he is the enemy of God. Jabesh-Gilead are the people of God. Here's the interesting thought about Nahash. He is an Ammonite. You say, well, what's the big deal about him being an Ammonite? Well, because he was an Ammonite, do you understand he was filled with animosity and hatred for the people of God? He could not stand the people of God. And I said, okay, God, I see that. I said, but what do you want me to say? He said, well, Derek, Nahash, he has his roots because he's an Ammonite. He has his roots from Lot. Do you remember Lot's two daughters? Do you remember they got him drunk? And one went in and lay with her daddy. Then the second one got their dad drunk the second night and lay with her daddy. Both daughters, you understand, are now expecting a child. The first child that was born was Moab. The second child was Ammon. And if you agree with that, shout amen. And so Ammon is the Ammonites and Moab were the Moabites. And I said, okay, I get that. What is the significance of the story? He said, Derek, tell my people that the Moabites, the Moabs were the people, a nation that were permanent dwellers, Brother Clark. They lived in cities. But the Ammonites, interesting, they were nomadic. They were a nomadic people. They were tent dwellers. They were wanderers. They went from place to place. And in their culture, the Ammonites, Brother Tim, they would steal, they would kill, and they would destroy. And now you say, well, Derek, that sounds like the devil. Well, that's a perfect picture of your enemy that come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so the Moabites or the Ammonites, here they are, Brother Clark. They've encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And the only reason they're there is to rob from the people of God. I've walked into camp meeting this morning and I'm dealing with an issue. I am dealing with the people of God. There is a real enemy that wants to rob you of your peace. He wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of your happiness. You're not hearing me. He wants to rob you of coming into into this sanctuary and lifting your hands and worshiping Jesus and giving God praise. He wants to rob you of your victory that you have in Christ. If you agree, would you shout amen? And the interesting thing about God, when God speaks to me, He always gives me about 3 points. Now don't get, hold that against me. I probably have a sub point or two. But I got 3 main points, but I want you to jot this down. Nahash, Brother Gerald, Nahash, his name means serpent. I didn't even get an amen right there. His name means serpent. My Bible is very plain. Peter said and described him, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. He was that one that came in the cool of the day. He was a serpent. Would you shout amen? And even from the beginning, he was here to steal, kill, and destroy. God said, Derek, Nahash, he said, tell my people this. Nahash, he has a prey. In other words, he's after somebody. The enemy of your soul, he's looking for you. He wants to destroy you. The older I get, I travel around America and spin and spit, kick and holler and preach every night of my life. But I'm going to tell you something. The enemy don't like Derek Stinnett. The enemy don't like my family. The enemy tries everything he does and tries to destroy. Somebody nod your head. And that's what he came to do. But I want to give you this. He has a prey. Somebody that he's after. He's encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And Brother Clark, there are 3 thoughts there as I saw the prey. And Nahash has a prey. He said, Derek, I want you to deal with Jabesh Gilead. And this blew my mind. This is the culture that you and I live in. I want you to go with me. I'm in 1 Samuel. I'm in chapter 11. I want you to look with me. I'm in that familiar verse, in verse number 2. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them on this condition. Will I make a covenant with you that I may thrust out all your right eyes? Back up. Go to verse 1. Nahash the Ammonite came up, hear this, Brother Clark, and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. Here's what I found out about Jabesh Gilead. If I was a note taker, I would jot this down. Number 1, Jabesh Gilead, which is the people of God, they were a borderline city. Amen. Brother Harold, they were a borderline city. You say, what's the big deal? Everybody look up here. They were on the border of Ammon and Moab. They were on the border of their enemy territory. In other words, Brother Brad, instead of moving closer to Jerusalem and moving all the way into the promises of God, they lived on the edge. They lived on the borderline. And God began to deal with me as a traveling evangelist. He said, Derek, what's wrong in this generation? What's wrong with the church of this generation? He said, they're living on the borderline. They're living too close to enemy territory. They can see what the enemy's doing. They know where the enemy is. They know where the enemy's going. And they're living too close. And you say, man of God, I don't like that. I was hoping you would preach something more positive. Well, I'm positive we're living too close to enemy territory. I'm positive we're living too close to the world. And you ain't hearing me. And we are living on the borderline. And when you got to hear the man of God. And when you live on the borderline, you become open target. You are an open target to the enemy. If you agree with that, would you shout amen? And God said, Derek, deal with my people. They're living on the edge. They're living on the line. They're living on the borderline. They're too close to enemy territory. And here's what I'm hearing. Here's what I'm dealing with. Well, you know, man of God, I just don't have time to go to church. You know, man of God, I just don't have time to get my family involved in the youth group. Y'all not hear me? I just don't have any time to come to camp meeting. Yeah, but I want you to hear me. You're living on the borderline, and the enemy has got a target on you, and he's wanting to destroy your family, and he's wanting to destroy your children, and he's wanting to destroy your life. Would anybody agree? You are open target to the enemy. You are living on the border. I'm going to tell you where we are. You say, well, man of God, are you ever going to get off of point one? No, we're going to hang out about a minute or two. Pastor Clark, here's the sermon. And I said, okay, God, we're living too close to the enemy territory. We're moving away from the house of God. Brother Mike Hutchell, I've never seen a generation that doesn't want to go to church like the generation we're preaching to today. They're not interested in going to church. They're not interested in putting God first. They're not interested. And God said, Derek, they're living on the border. They're living on the edge. They're living just in and out, up and down. Anything goes. Would anybody agree with me? We are living on the borderline. And I said, God, I see it. I know it's where we are. And he said this to me. He said, Derek, he said, I do have a word for people that are on the borderline. I said, well, what do you got for them, God? He said, I got a word for them. I said, well, do you want me to give it on the first day of camp meeting? He said, give it to them on the first day of camp meeting. He said, tell them, if they'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to them. Tell them that I'm waiting for them. I'm waiting on them to put me first. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. God brought me by to tell you, if you'll draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. But Ollie, here's where we are. I said, okay, God, I see it. We're drifting. And here's what we're doing, Brother Clark. When we drift and we're living on the borderline, here's what we do. We don't want anybody to know that we've drifted. We don't want anybody to send us a card that we missed. We don't want anybody to come knock on our door because we're comfortable where we are. We okay with where we are. And God said, Derek, Jabesh Gilead is on the borderline of Moab and Ammon. And they're on the borderline of enemy territory. And they have become an open target. If you agree, would you shout amen? They don't want anybody to notice they've drifted. They don't want anybody to know. And here's where they are. They're living on the edge. And they're hoping nobody can tell. I hate to shock all y'all. But if you're living on the edge, everybody can tell. Everybody can tell. And so I wrote down, I said, okay, God, I see the borderline. I said, God, there's some more things. He said, go back, Derek, to 1 Samuel 11. He said, I want you to study the word Jabesh. So I looked up the word, Phil, I looked up the word Jabesh. Here's what I want you to write down. Jabesh means barren. I lost my manners. Number one, Brother Brad, because the enemy has a prey. Here's why he has a prey. Because Jabesh Gilead is on the borderline. And then number two, Jabesh is barren. You say, man of God, what does barren mean? That's an interesting concept. Brother Tom, the word barren. Here's what the word barren. When you are barren, there's not much growth when you are barren. When you are barren, I'm not a farmer, I'm not a gardener. Man, I don't know much about it, but I do know this. If you don't have water, you cannot grow. If you don't have moisture, you cannot grow. And you cannot produce. You cannot bear fruit. But because we are barren, someone said, well, man of God, what's wrong with this culture? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with the culture. We got the same issue that they had in 1 Samuel chapter 11. We are living on the borderline and our lives are barren. Brother Grant, our lives are barren. You say, well, why are we barren? That's a great question that I would love to answer on this Sunday morning at camp meeting. Here's why we are barren. Every Bible student that is in this room, every Bible student knows that the Word of God is the water of God. And the Word of God is not only the water of God, but the Word of God is the very wind of God. And you say, well, man of God, why are we barren? Everybody look up here. Because we are neglecting the Word of God. Y'all not hear me. We are not reading the Word of God. We are not applying the Word of God. And God come to me this week and He said, man of God, I want you to spend adequate time in my Word and allowing the wind of God to blow over your life. Do you know what we need in this generation? We need the Word of God and we need the wind of God. We need the breath of God. Is anybody in this room? We cannot reach this culture without the power of the Holy Ghost. And our lives, we are on the border and we are barren. If you agree, nod your head. Amen. Pastor, here's the sermon. I told the Lord, I love this. We camp meeting, nobody gets in a hurry. Two of y'all, no, I don't know if you said anything. But we are barren, Brother Jerry, we are barren and we're not producing, we're not growing. Every Bible student knows it is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And the Word of God is being neglected. Is anybody in this room? We are neglecting the Bible. We are neglecting the Word of God. And I said, okay, God, if the sermon is this simple, we are on the borderline and we are barren. I said, what else is wrong with this generation? He said, Derek, study not only Jabesh. Look up the word Gilead. Gilead means rocky. Everybody look up here. You know if they're on the borderline and they're barren and Gilead means rocky, we got to put a B in there. So that's brittle. Pastor, here's what's wrong with this generation. We are living on the borderline. We have become barren. And we are brittle. I've never seen a generation of people that's so brittle like this generation. You can't say anything, they'll get offended. Don't you say that to me. You're hurting my feelings. Well, everybody look up here. I don't have any hair, but it doesn't bother you to make fun of me. Hey, baby, everybody can't pull this look off. Somebody shout amen. You look good back here. I see bald all over this house. Somebody, Harold, you look good. I meant to tell you. I mean, we bald folks have to stick together. Someone asked me the other day, said, hey, Jeff, you look good. Hey, somebody said, man of God, why do you make so much about hair? I said, well, I don't have any. I said, this is the next best thing. They said, what's the best thing? Hair. Brother Jerry, but here is the sermon. You say, what does it mean, Rocky? Brother Clark, they are brittle. Here's what God said to me. And give me about 5 minutes. You say, what's wrong, Derek? Why are we brittle? Ladies and gentlemen, we walk in a service like this, and the Holy Ghost moves, and the power of God moves, and we are unfazed, and we are unmoved. It is because we have become hardened. We have become hard. We have become rocky. We have become brittle. It doesn't move us when the wind blows. It doesn't move us when the Word of God is preached. You're in dangerous territory. Would anybody agree? You need to take heed to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Brother Clark, I got Bible. I'm going to go to my second point, but I got Bible. I want you to do me a favor. Go to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to go real quick. I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to go to chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 12 and verse 13. I'm going to show you why we are hard and why we are rocky and why we are brittle. It's in verse 12 and 13, Hebrews 3. Take heed, brethren. Everybody see that? Take heed, brethren. How many know he didn't say take heed, Christian? He didn't say take heed, heathen. He said take heed, brethren. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Pull up verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Watch this. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Someone said, man of God, why are we hard? Why are we rocky? Why are we brittle? We have become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. It is how you respond to that. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're amening. Someone says, man of God, what is your sermon? We are living Grant Ledbetter. We are living on the borderline. We have become barren and we are brittle. We are so hard-hearted. We are so cold and calculated. Someone says, well, man of God, you're painting a bleak picture. You're making it seem like there's no hope. Oh, no, baby. Before the sun gets hot, help is on its way. God's got some help coming down the trail. God's got some help coming down the road just for you. Woo. Hallelujah. You say, man of God, have you finally got to your sermon? No. Brother Brad, we just eased in. He has a pray. Write this down. Number two, he has a purpose. Brother Ted, he has a pray. He has a purpose. Would you agree with the man of God? Your enemy has a purpose. You think he's fighting fair? You're crippled too high for crutches to help. I'm going to tell you something. It's hand-to-hand combat. Brother Mike Hutchell, I'm going to tell you, it's not for the faint. It's not for the weak-spirited. Ladies and gentlemen, he'll get your hands on you and you can't fight him by yourself. You can't overcome this enemy by yourself. Everybody look up here. You're no match for the devil. You're no match for the enemy. Phil Shackelford, you and I are no match. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's a glory source. There's a power source that lives inside of me. That'll give me the victory over my enemy. He lives inside of us. He has a pray. He has a purpose. Give me some time. Nahash, Pastor Clark, has encamped against Jabesh Gilead. This blew my mind, man of God. Nahash, Brother Jerry Sadler, Nahash is encamped against Jabesh Gilead. If I took notes, I'll deal with this in the last point, but I want to say it now so you'll be warned and you'll get it. Jabesh has encamped. Nahash is encamped against Jabesh Gilead. Pastor Clark, Jabesh Gilead, the people of God, they didn't put up a fight. They showed no resistance. They had no courage. And they didn't even stand. They said this, if sound of this doesn't sound like our generation, we will be your servants. Tax us, we will pay. Here's the line that sounds like us today. Let us live as we are living. I lost my manners. Let us live like we're living. We don't want to fight. We don't want to stand. We don't have any courage. Just let us pay taxes and just get through life like we are. If you agree, shout amen. And Nahas pulled it up. I want you to look at that in verse 2. I'm in 1 Samuel. Nahas to Ammonite answered them, On this condition, I will make a covenant with you. Pastor, this is wonderful. So he says, I want to pluck out your right eye. Everybody look up here. If he plucks out your right eye and you're right-handed, how many know you got a shield in your left hand? And if your right eye is gone, you're blinded. You're blinded to your enemy. Here's what Nahash says. I'm going to pluck out your right eye so you'll never fight against me again. I'm going to take care of you once and for all. Let me pluck out your right eye. You say, man of God, you think the devil in hell, do you think our enemy today is after the same thing? How many would agree with me? He wants to just make it where you can't fight. He wants to disable you. No ability to stand and fight. So he wants to pluck out the right eye. And pastor, here's what God gave me. He gave me two reasons the enemy wants to pluck out the right eye. Here's what I'd do if I was a note taker. Number one, he wants to rob you, pluck out the right eye of a good testimony. He wants to rob you of a good testimony. Now here's the sermon. You say, well, what's a good testimony? A good name is to be desired above rubies and riches. I'm going to use Brother Ollie. I walked up to Brother Ollie, the man of God. He told me this. I said, how long have you been saved? He said, since 1954. I said, hallelujah. Then that man of God said, I've been preaching 50 years. Now, can I tell you something about Brother Ollie? And he didn't ask me to say this about him, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Brother Gerald, can I tell you about that? That man sitting 1, 2, 3 rows back has a great testimony. You say, well, how do you know he's got a good testimony? Well, he's been saved for longer than I've been alive. He's been preaching longer than I've been alive. Y'all ain't hearing me. And he's walked with God. Hey, and when that man of God begins to pray and that man of God begins to shout and begins to raise his hand, you know what that does? That encourages me. Hey, because if a man that's been living for God that long still has a shout, that tells me God lives in him. And that old man of God has a great testimony. But everybody in the room, look up here. You say, why did you bring out Brother Ollie? Sister Avondale, here's why I did. It takes a lifetime to build a testimony. And it only takes a few moments to topple and destroy your testimony. But I can already hear someone in here that has faltered. Someone in here that's made a mistake. Somebody in here that has hurt their family or hurt themselves. And they say, well, man of God, I'll never have a good testimony. You look up here. Whether you failed last night or you failed 5 years ago or you failed 10 years ago, from this day forward, hold your head up. Be a man of God. Be a lady of God. And let God be God in your life. Hallelujah. The enemy of your soul wants to pluck out the right eye of a good testimony. If you agree, shout amen. Now, here it is. I said, okay, good testimony. What else does the enemy want to pluck out? He wants to pluck out the right eye of church faithfulness. Faithfulness. To church. You say, well, you evangelists, you pastors, you preachers, Derek, you really don't care about people being faithful. Oh, no, baby, it's not my job to make people be faithful. God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Would anybody agree with me? God is looking for some people that are faithful, that come to church, that put God first. Every day you live, you need to be faithful. If you agree, shout amen. You say, Derek, are you getting anywhere? You can't even believe how fast I'm preaching. He has a pray. He has a purpose. I'm just as shocked as you. I'm already on point number three. Hey, I want to tell you something. I was going to say, you couldn't have found anybody to preach this sermon faster than Derek. I'm not sure y'all's buying in. And I'm going to try it anyhow. Pastor, here it is, number three. He has a pray. He has a purpose. He has pride. Amen. How many know the enemy has pride? He has them right where he wants them. No fight. No resistance. They said, just give us 7 days respite. I'm in 1 Samuel 11. Hey, just give us 7 days respite. Nahash, here's what he said. He says, well, here's what we're going to do. They said, well, give us 7 days. We're going to go out and get an army. We're going to get some men together. Here's what he said. Go ahead. Get whoever you want. The victory will be greater. The victory will be sweeter. Spoil will be more. My name will be magnified. Pastor, here's what he's saying. It's not enough for me to just destroy you. I'm not satisfied with taking you. I got to have your right eye. Brad, here's what I found out about the enemy. Here's what I found out about pride. Pride is never satisfied. It always wants more. You give him Sunday night, he'll take you Sunday morning. You give him your prayer time, he'll take your Bible study. I'm preaching better than your amening. He wants to rob you, destroy you. He's never satisfied. And I said, God, it looks bleak. God, it looks dark. God, it doesn't look like there's any hope. It doesn't look very good. And God said, well, he said, tell my people they didn't know 6 days were working in their favor. Something was happening in the glory world. Hey, something was going on. And I said, okay, God, how could I make it plain? He said, Derek, one more time. Here's the sermon. He said, Derek, tell them one more time, Jabez Gilead, the people of God, didn't fight, had no valor, had no courage, didn't resist. And here's the line of the day. God sent help anyway. Hallelujah. They shouldn't have got any help. They wasn't deserving of help. If I was God, I wouldn't have sent it. Because them hard-headed folks living on the borderline barren and brittle. And God said, well, Derek, do you not realize when you were on your way to hell and you wasn't deserving of any help and you were on the outside looking in, I sent my son, my only son, to die on a hill that you could have life and you could have it more abundantly. You wasn't deserving of help. You shouldn't have got any help, but I sent you some help anyway. Hallelujah. I sent you some help anyway. And you say, man of God, is that the sermon? Everybody in the room, look up here. I've never seen a generation that is more on the border and that is more barren and that is more brittle than the generation I'm preaching to today. And I don't know why, Brother Ollie, that God would send them help. But I'm glad on the first day of camp meeting, You're not deserving of any help. But if your home is faltering and your home is on the verge of collapsing and your daughter's in sin and your son's breaking your heart, God brought me by to tell you, maybe you hadn't fought in it. Maybe you hadn't stood in it. But God said, by the time the sun gets hot, help is coming your way. I'm going to send you some help. I'm going to bring you some help. I'm going to come to where you are and wrap my arms around you and change your life. The word help. The word help in that little verse means salvation and deliverance. Everybody in the room, look up here. I'm done. You say, Derek, what happens to me? I need help. Derek, do you think God will send salvation and God will send deliverance to my home? Oh my God, God's going to send you some help. God brought me by to tell you, hey, the sun's getting hot in the morning. Whether the sun, hey, listen to me. No matter how dark it gets in your life, no matter how weary you get, God's going to send you some help. Stand all over the room. Stand all over the room, please. Father,